The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goins.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Friday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this November 22nd, 2024. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins, and you got me for the next 2 hours right here on ESPN 106.7. Lots to get to on the show today, a free-for-all Friday. We've got college football. We have college basketball. We've got a little bit of everything to get to on the show today. Also got a packed house in the studio. Excited to welcome everybody in. We're also going to get Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports and ParamountSports.com on the phone in just a second. But this man, he's with me every Monday and Friday. He's wild. He's crazy. He's your favorite, Uncle Tebow, my man. Happy Friday. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing well. Happy Friday to you, Jacob. End of the week. Folks, you're out there working. You've had enough. Just tell the boss person you're out of here. Shut it down and just kick your feet up and listen to us for the next 2 hours as we bring you into the drive and bring you on into the weekend, an exciting weekend of college football. It's getting down to you-know-what cutting time, Jacob. Playoffs are just around the corner, and a playoff team or a possible playoff team is coming to Jordan-Hare Stadium tomorrow night. The Jets have been have you seen the Jets coming in today?
No.
I mean, everything's bigger in Texas, right?
Yeah.
These Jets are just coming in one after another. Big Oil and Big Country has come to the plains as the Texas A&M Aggies come to Jordan-Hare Stadium. You can give us a ring at 334-321. Golly, I forgot the number.
1390.
Thank you, 1390. Senior moment. Sorry, been a long week. Been working hard all week, and I know you have too. And we're going to break it all down for you. Lee Sterling's going to be on here shortly, and can't wait to hear from him. And then, like you said, we got great college basketball. It's kind of transition season. So is Lee on the phone right now?
We're going to get him in just a second. I'm going to kind of let you ramble for a second about what you are looking at in terms of a slate of college football, college basketball. Christian Griffin's going to join us in the studio coming up in just a little bit. But I'll get Lee Sterling on the phone. And man, you look around. I talked about four games yesterday in the SEC that involved four playoff potential teams playing four not anywhere near playoff teams. But somebody's going down this weekend, Uncle T-Bone. Somebody's going down.
Yes.
Who's it going to be? You don't have to give an answer right now, but big-time games going on this weekend.
No, I think a couple of teams go down around the country this weekend. It's just got that feel to it. These are the type weekends if you're walking the streets looking for an angle, going up against local man trying to pay the power bill. You better tread lightly. It hasn't had a real bloodbath weekend yet, and I can just feel it coming this weekend. Teams are rising up. You saw it last night. Georgia Tech was almost a 10-point favorite and barely, and that's a red-hot Georgia Tech team, scoots by North Carolina State in the NFL. I saw it yesterday. I wish I would have been on air. The putrid Cleveland Browns only catching 3.5 to the world beater Pittsburgh Steelers, who had just rickrolled the Ravens and taken control of the AFC North division. Wrong team favored. Cleveland gets the big upset behind Jameis Winston. So I'm just telling you, be on the lookout this weekend for some squirrely lines. If you think something smells like cologne, just take a big whiff and walk on and leave it alone. And speaking of cologne, my man Lee Sterling, I believe, is finally on the air.
He is. Lee of Paramount Sports and ParamountSports.com. Happy Friday. Always great to talk to you, my man. How are things in your neck of the woods?
I'm good. I love this time of year normally. I mean, I love Thanksgiving. I don't know if you remember from last year, my two daughters for Thanksgiving, we have the turkey bake-off. Remember
yes,
that?
Yes, yes.
So a little bit of a change-up. So normally it's my one daughter making a banana cream pie.
Ooh.
She is not going to make a banana cream pie. She says she's been having trouble with the consistency. It's been too soupy. She's lost two of the last three. It's just you can't have soupy banana cream pie, correct?
No.
Yeah, just having trouble with it. I'm not allowed in the kitchen, so I don't know why. So she said she's going with an apple pie.
And I told her,
I'm like, apple pie is, you know, it's traditional. Not my absolute favorite. I like it, but that's going to have to be really good to beat a huckleberry pie. So she says it's good. She must have some incredible recipe. So we'll see. I always love it. You ever have it with vanilla bean?
Yeah.
Ice cream?
A hot apple pie with freezing cold ice cream, and it melts, and it kind of mixes
on the plate.
But you got
to get vanilla bean. Vanilla bean.
For sure. I like just homemade vanilla ice cream now, Lee. I don't know if you get some of that, but some homemade vanilla ice cream, man, it's unbelievable with some apple pie.
So we'll see. We'll see. I mean, I'm Huckleberry's always right there, just a shade below banana cream pie, but should be fun. That's Thursday. We'll put that up on Twitter probably about by 5 o'clock your time. So that'll be up if anyone wants to watch it on Twitter or Instagram. And then we leave actually tomorrow morning to see my daughter sing the national anthem for the Bears.
How about
on
that?
Sunday.
How about that?
Yeah,
they
take on the Vikings.
That's really, really cool. Well, I'm going to go ahead and wish you a happy Thanksgiving and to you and your family and safe travels. And while you're doing all of that, you're traveling, you're baking, you're eating, you're sleeping, you're watching college football too, because there's a lot happening around the Southeastern Conference and even outside of the conference as well. But with you on our show, we keep it pretty heavy in the SEC. And so anything going on with ParamountSports.com that the folks need to know about before we dive into games?
Yep. So how about this? We'll give them we'll mention the game of the week where they can get for free by calling us. But have our college game of the year. It is going tomorrow. So it's a 50-unit max wager. All the time we've been in business, we're 70-26 lifetime on these 40 to 50-unit max wagers. Whew. At 73%. We've had two 45 units that both hit. So we've got a 50-unit max wager, ParamountSports.com, just $97. Or you can get 2 weeks of our phone service, and that will include the max wager. And that's about 10 to 13, 10 to 14 games a week. So that's about 25, 28 games, and just $197. It's all available on the website, ParamountSports.com.
There you go. Go check it out if you want to get involved with Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. Let's hop into this thing, man. We'll start with a game that's happening between a team that had playoff hopes and then they have since fallen. A team that's been one of the biggest surprises in the SEC all season long. It's LSU and Vanderbilt. Tigers of LSU getting touchdown and a hook.
Yeah. I mean, when they play, they are really good, LSU. I mean, if you watch that Arkansas game, that was one of the most dominating games of the year. But when they're bad, like in the second half last week, they are awful. Could they play great out of nowhere? Maybe. The game is at home? Maybe. But I don't see what they're playing for now. I mean, their head coach, Kelly, looks like he might have lost the team. We'll see. And then on top of that, they've had trouble against quarterbacks that are dual-threat quarterbacks, and that's what Diego Pavia is. It looks like he's going to win, if I had to guess, his appeal to get another year. So he could be around, and I love him. I mean, he's just a player. So I'm going to say LSU wins the game 35-30, but Vandy covers.
Lee Sterling, Paramount Sports, taking the Commodore and the Kool-Aid as well, and the points. Not going wrong team favored. I'm with you, Lee. I kind of like Vanderbilt there, and I also kind of like Vanderbilt on that money line possibly.
Right.
I just think that they're the better all-around football team despite having less talent. Another interesting game in the SEC, not really with playoff implications, or there shouldn't be, Texas hosting Kentucky, who's been just a huge disappointing season for the Wildcats. Longhorns giving the Cats 20.5.
Yeah, and also, on the other side, Texas just not playing up to their potential. They were up 13-0. Should have been 17 or 21, and they just couldn't put Arkansas away. So, for some reason, the focus hasn't been there. Steve Sarkisian, he's going to have to get his troops playing at a higher level if they want to get to the Final Four or to win it all. So, a little concerned about that, but Kentucky, only really two games. I mean, they had that game against Georgia where they were in the game the whole game. And then on top of that, They had one more game, and that was it against Ole Miss. So they looked incredible. But they had 36 and almost 40-minute time of possession edges there, and that led to those wins. And I just don't think they have playmakers that scare Texas at all. I mean, they had Ray Davis last year, but they have nothing at receiver and running back that, you know, can break a tackle and go 70, 80 yards. I'll take Texas here, 35-10.
Lee Sterling joining us here on the phone lines on the Friday edition of On the Line. We head to Gainesville, where a game will start early tomorrow in the early setting or the early time frame of the SEC. Ole Miss can keep their playoff hopes alive with a win, and the Gators can get bowl eligible and end the season for Lane Kiffin and the Rebs. They have a 10-point lead, or I guess a 10-point favorite is what Ole Miss is getting on the road.
They are, and I think that Florida could sometimes about matchups, and this is a bad matchup for them. So they have not faced a dual-threat quarterback all year, and last week they didn't have to worry about Garrett Nussmeier running. This week, Jackson Dart, 3,100 yards passing. He has 22 touchdowns. He's run for 300 yards and three touchdowns. I think he's going to stress this defense for the Gators. And how about this? I mean, how underrated is Ole Miss's defense? A lot of people don't realize they're number two in the country in run defense, allowing just 2.2 yards per carry. Mm. And Florida needs that running game to get going. Once they get the running game going, then they've got play action, and they're usually pretty good with that. And if they're stuck in some third and six, third and eight, third and ten situations, that's where Ole Miss, they'll pin their ears back and they'll come after you. 46 sacks on the season. Also, looks like Ole Miss wide receiver Trey Harris, their best receiver and their best deep threat, it looks like he will be back. He's been standing on the sidelines for two games, stressed out, but hasn't played. But looks like he'll be back here. So I don't like the matchup here for Florida. Ole Miss 34-16.
Yeah, I don't like it either, Lee. Yeah. We're 3-for-3, Uncle T and Lee at Paramount Sports.
But here's what's interesting. I think they did make the right move by keeping Sunbelt Billy for at least another year. They don't have to go through a whole new coaching change, and they lose a bunch of players. They have a pretty good nucleus in freshmen in their sophomore class, so they can keep that together, and it looks like they're making some headways recruiting. They're going to be even better next year.
Lee, people around here aren't going to like this, but Norman, Oklahoma, preparing. Right. Welcome to the SEC late in the season for the Alabama Crimson Tide and 50,000 Alabama fans coming out to Norman to go roll tie over and over again Saturday night. Tide giving 13.5 to the Sooners on a windy night in the Great Plains.
Yeah, but Oklahoma's defense has been rock solid the whole season. So as long as OU doesn't turn the ball over 4 or 5 times, I think they might be able to stay in it. You got a conference game, team with maybe the better defense, getting 2 touchdowns, and the offense is actually coming around a little bit, turning the ball over less, running the football. So I'm going to say OU stays in it. They muck up the game. Alabama wins 27-17. But the Sooners cover.
How about that? Thinking the Sooners can hang around. If they can find any sort of offensive momentum, I think they have a chance with the Crimson Tide. All right, Lee, tell us why Auburn's going to upset A&M tomorrow night. Go ahead and do it. Just tell us. Be on our side. Tell us why Auburn makes the upset.
Auburn averages 407 yards in conference play. How many points would you guess that you – there's usually numbers – as far as how many yards you gain, as to what that number usually equates to in how many points you put up on average. How many points would you think that would be?
For Auburn on average this year?
Yeah,
I mean,
this is an SEC play.
5?
They average 407 yards per game.
You would think about 27, 30 points or even more.
Right there. 28, 29 points. You're right on.
Yeah.
Not even close to that. So they are not – once they get inside the opponent's 30, 40-yard line, just not getting the job done. It's a combination of quarterback. I don't love the play calling. So they're going to have to improve on that if they want to have a chance here. I think one of the reasons this line is as low as it is Texas A&M played really poorly on the road in their last game against South Carolina. And I don't think people have bought into this Texas A&M team. From what I'm hearing, a good chance that Texas A&M might play both quarterbacks during this game. and you might see him come in and out. I don't know if it's going to be every play, but maybe different series as they try to, you know, run some different plays against this Auburn defense. So might be a good move on their part. I think Auburn stays in it for a while, but I think A&M, I don't think they're looking ahead to Texas. A&M here, 31-17.
Oh, Lee.
Sorry.
Oh,
sorry,
man.
Not sorry.
Trust me, I'm rooting for you, though. I'm not an A&M fan.
Oh, we're hoping Auburn can prove you wrong on this one
right.
time,
what,
Lee.
What kind of following are they expecting A&M to show up with as far as fans?
I mean, they normally travel pretty well, and I know a lot of A&M people that like coming to Auburn. I know a lot of Auburn people that like going to Texas A&M.
Right.
So I think they'll bring a decent amount of crowd. The question is how many Auburn fans show up inside of their home stadium with a team that
it's not a sellout?
I mean, they may announce it as a sellout, but that doesn't mean they all show up. You know how that goes.
Right.
So, Auburn, Texas A&M tomorrow. Lee, you got a free play people can get in on if they give you a call right now.
Yeah, free play is going to be Missouri, Mississippi State. First five callers that call 800-400-9741. Give them the game for free. We're standing by to talk to you, explain to you why we have this game and how our service works. So be one of the first five callers to get Missouri, Mississippi State, 800-400-9741. And if you'd like to purchase our college football game of the year, 50-unit max wager, just $97 or 2 weeks of action, just $197 for 70 and 26 lifetime on these 40 to 50 unit max wagers. Just one place, ParamountSports.com.
The best in the business. Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports, my man. Always appreciate you. We'll try to get you on sometime next week. I know with the holiday it's a little bit crazy, so we'll talk off air. But, hey, happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, my friend.
You too. Sounds good, Jacob.
Thanks so much. Lee Sterling, ParamountSports.com. And here we go again. Auburn's got to prove him wrong. He's chosen against Auburn, which, you know, you make money doing that.
Yeah, he's like 67-2 when picking against Auburn in the history of Paramount Sports. I mean, he's dialed in pretty well with the Tigers and has been for the last couple of years. Currently over at scoresandodds.com. That is a later set, number 207, number 208. Auburn plus 2.5, over under 46.5.
That's disgusting. That's disgusting. Can I also ask a side question? What is Huckleberry Pie? He was talking about that in the beginning. What is Huckleberry Pie? Do you know what that is? He was talking banana cream. He was talking apple. But they said they were sidestepping the Huckleberry Pie. I don't know what that is, and I didn't Google it during his talk here because I was listening to him talk about football games. Do you know what that is?
No clue, Jacob, and don't want to know. Thanks.
I don't know if I want to Google that. That sounds kind of scary. I mean, I don't know. Is it clean?
Yeah, I'm not.
What's a? I don't know what a huckleberry. Thank you, Google. It's a pie made with cups of huckleberry. Golly. All right, whatever. We'll get to our first break in hour number one. Christian Griffin joins us when we come back. Free for all Fridays underway here on the Friday edition of On the Line.
This is Ian Fitzsimmons from ESPN Radio, and you're listening to On the Line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7.
War Eagle, this is Coach Hugh Freeze, and you're on the line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7.
Back inside the studio here at ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Thanks to Lee Sterling from Paramount Sports and ParamountSports.com for joining us on the show as he does every single Friday throughout football season. And had some interesting picks for a lot of great games, T-Bone. You and I were talking before we got him on the phone. It could be wild around the SEC and in college football this week, and we'll dive into that in just a second. But we welcome in Christian Griffin here to the studio as well. What's up, my man? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. Is this the first, painfully, the first Friday that both of us don't have things?
Yes.
It's unfortunate.
It is really unfortunate, actually.
You don't know what to do with yourself.
I really don't. I really am. The amount of money that I would pay to have a football game to call tonight is a lot. Is a lot. And so it still hurts. It still pains me, so I appreciate you bringing that up. That was cool.
It's okay. You hit me with a hard one, you know, the Friday after we lost, so I had to return the favor a little bit. But, no, happy to be here. Happy to be able to join the show. Make sure to give us a call, 334-321-1390, free-for-all Friday I'm sure we're going to get a lot of that this afternoon. We had a lot of it last Friday as well. I'm sure it'll carry over to the show today.
Yeah, and I was driving through downtown. You and I went to lunch, and it's already crazy down there. There's a ton of people in town already, and that is a good question that Lee Sterling brings up. I mean, do we expect there to be a lot of A&M fans here this weekend? I didn't see any when we were downtown, but...
That being said, I didn't know that the parking deck downtown had more than three floors, and we had to park on the fifth.
It was unbelievable. I mean, it takes, 30 minutes to get through downtown, so I don't know how many fans are going to be there for A&M, but I think my point to him still stands that I'm curious on what Auburn fans do tomorrow. I mean, do they show up, sit in the cold, and support their team for the final home game of the season, or do they just say, to heck with this? I mean, we're not supposed to win anyway.
That's what we were talking about on the way to lunch. It was the atmosphere is going to be great. We know the light show and the fireworks and everything's going to be going off. Very similar to what we saw the last time Auburn played Texas A&M inside Jordan-Hare Stadium. They've been showing the highlights and the recaps all week long. But the biggest thing is, sitting through the cold, where that's where the question marks draw the line. Uncle T-Bone, will you be there? Will you be showing your support? Or are we going ahead and throwing up Jabba?
Always throwing up Jabba.
Oh, that's too
easy.
Whether
I'm there or not, hadn't made that decision yet. May ease down there a little bit and see what's going on. May take it to the house and get in front of the fireplace and watch Auburn Jabba it up against A&M. So, Texas A&M fans always travel well to the Plains, and I expect there to be a good crowd of Aggies. Look, they're a team that they can win out or going to Atlanta. And if with the possibility of going to the college football playoffs, no one person in this studio and anyone listening would have had A&M in the college football playoffs in Mike Elko's first season.
I think that's fair. Yeah. I think I said it maybe yesterday where it's like, man, this is a dream scenario for them. Like nobody had A&M as a playoff contender with 2 weeks to go in the season. And that's when you start looking at the SEC standings and you're like, man, there's a couple of players there that just shouldn't be there, or we at least didn't expect to be there. And even just up to a couple of weeks ago, I mean, Vanderbilt being in that conversation, you still have, right, South Carolina is still in that conversation, maybe not to get to Atlanta, but still to make a college football playoff as a dark horse. I mean, nobody had that with Shane Beamer and the Gamecocks.
Oh, no, no. My sixth sense tells me that by the end of the season, especially starting this weekend, that there's going to be some amped-up conversation on some three-loss teams going to the college football playoffs. And they're actually going to have an argument. It's what's so frustrating sitting here as an Auburn fan. It's bad enough that the program has taken a massive step back this season.
Mm-hmm.
Not unfair to say so far. Sorry, it's just the truth. But the fact of the matter is Auburn should have 7 wins bare minimum right now. Is that right? We have 10 games that we've played?
Yeah, I mean, you can
– They should have beaten Oklahoma and Missouri, and they should have beaten Vanderbilt. Sorry, Vanderbilt had 227 total yards in that game.
Yeah.
They gagged it up. So you sneak past California and Arkansas, and in year two, we're talking about Auburn with a possibility of going to the college football playoffs.
I mean, imagine if Auburn was one of those 8-2 teams right now, like A&M, Georgia, Tennessee, and Alabama, and Ole Miss. What if Auburn was one of those?
That
because
stadium
of
would
those
be.
Teams, Auburn has not played any, or other than Georgia, they haven't played any of them. A&M will be the other one this weekend.
That stadium would be out of control tomorrow night.
It would be unbelievable.
If Auburn was an 8-win team right now, it would make it that Cornell Williams Texas A&M game from a couple of years ago that I think people are having flashbacks of right now, and that's why they think we're going to win this football game because it was such an emotional roller coaster that night. It would make that night look like child's play. This town would be lit, sir, lit in trying to get a W with only 2 losses to go up to Tuscaloosa. But you know what? So close. So far away, they got 4 wins. Jabba.
Because both teams would be 8-2. Winner is alive in the playoff. Loser is most likely out in that situation if it were Auburn and Texas A&M, both at 8-2. A&M going to Texas next week. Auburn going to Alabama next week.
That's what I was about to say. Imagine how big of a game it could be just knowing that everything is in front of you, where both of those teams still have just an equal or an even better opponent upcoming next week. There would be no Mike Elko. We're focused on Auburn. If that was the case,
no, they would be solely focused on Auburn, and we're gonna find out if they are tomorrow or not. We got a lot more to talk about here on the Free for All Friday edition of On the Line. More Auburn and Texas A&M. More college football talk. Maybe dip into the college basketball world as well. We got a lot more to get to. Stick around. The Friday edition of On the Line continues after this.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 minutes into hour number one here on the Free for All Friday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm Jacob Goins, got Uncle T-Bone, Christian Griffin in the studio as well, and we'd love to hear from you on this gorgeous Friday afternoon. 334-321-1390. We get to the phone lines. Inspector, you're on the line. What's up?
Well, hello, guys. Nice day in the neighborhood, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a beautiful day outside.
Well, let's talk about tomorrow.
Let's do it.
I have no hope for Auburn to win this game.
None? No hope?
None. We could beat every team in the Sun Belt Conference, but we could barely beat a team in the SEC, and we beat Kentucky at their worst. So... What hope do we have? We haven't done anything to change the status quo. And I see us going into another SEC game and getting walloped. I heard Doug this morning on his show, and he was saying if Alabama wins out and Missouri wins, they're in the playoffs. Well, give me a break. He doesn't think Alabama can beat Auburn.
He's trying to say anything can happen in the Iron Bowl, Specter.
Yeah, well, when is the last time Auburn with a 4-win season beat Alabama in the Iron Bowl?
That I don't know. I can tell you it's been since 2010, since Auburn's won in Tuscaloosa.
I don't think any Auburn team with a losing record in my lifetime has beaten Alabama.
I was saying it's been since 2010 since Auburn has gone to Tuscaloosa and walked out of there with a win.
What was their record then?
They were undefeated, Spectre.
Exactly right.
I mean, they had Cam Newton. I mean, that's a moot point. Spectre, I hate to say this, but I'm with you on this football game. I'm just going to call it like I see it. And this whole Auburn's only catching 2.5 points, and that's such a stinky line, and Vegas knows something. I believe that Auburn folks are just having wish-casting flashbacks to 2 years ago when Carnell Williams and Will Friend took over the offense. And on a very cold Saturday night, like it's going to be tomorrow night at Jordan-Hare Stadium, ran the ball and shoved it down Texas A&M's throat for a victory. And I don't think that this offensive coaching staff is man enough, and I'm going to say that, man enough, Specter, to line up and run it down A&M's throat tomorrow night on a Saturday night. Because they could have done it against Vanderbilt, they could have done it against Oklahoma, they could have done it against Missouri and Arkansas, and they just refused to do it.
Exactly right. So what do we got? What's the expectation for this game?
An L for me.
Golly.
I'm with you. I mean, I don't see. Have people watched Auburn against any kind of semi-quality opponent this year and seen how many fewer points with this pathetic offense that they've scored compared to last year with Phillip Montgomery's offense? They're like 7-8 points worse a game against Power 4 opponents. Defense has done a great job, but in key situations, this coaching staff has just refused to go old school and run the ball, and it's cost us 3 W's.
Yeah, you're right. I'm just so down and out. I felt this way back in the 80s when we lost 9 straight to Alabama before we won.
70s.
And yeah, 70s. I'm sorry. I'm getting
forgetful
every now and then.
You've been through a lot with this Auburn team, huh, Spectre?
I've been through a lot, son. And, and I thought I had so much hopes for when Freeze came on board. Oh, he was going to develop us a quarterback. He was going to take us to the promised land.
Survey says.
I don't know.
Hey, Spectre, there's always next year, my friend. There's always next year.
That's why I said last year.
The year before last.
And the year before last.
Yes. Well, I got to go eat and throw up. Sorry, guys.
Appreciate the call, Spectre. Happy
free-for-all Friday here. And, I just don't see it. I'm with Spectre.
Does Spectre speak for the majority of the fan base at this point?
Yes.
I mean, does he?
Listen, I think so because Monday I was feeling all jolly Roger coming in here to the studio.
Yeah.
And, we just got a big victory over Louisiana Monroe.
And everybody was Mr. Negative.
Yeah, and they just kind of, poo-pooed all over that and said, not today, Uncle T, Jabba. And, as the week's gone on, I've sat here and watched this more and more and thought about it more and more. And I'm like, man, what does anybody think that something's going to change mid-season with this offensive philosophy? The only time it's changed one time this year, guys, is when Hugh Freeze had food poisoning and we were in different formations against Kentucky, multiple heavy sets, and we opened up holes the size of Ford Broncos to run through. Well, unless he goes over there to the country club tonight and gets a fish sandwich and gets food poisoning, you're going to see the same offense that's aggravating that cannot be run by this quarterback efficiently, and Texas A&M and Mike Elko is a good enough defensive coach to eat that up, just like Brent Venables was.
Oh, I thought you had something to say. My bad.
There's nothing left to say.
I mean, there are
responses. I mean, prove me wrong. Yeah. I hope I'm wrong, but I'm about job it out, guys. I'm about tired of buying in to the same old, and until they go out there and establish an identity on offense, one that's an old school Auburn identity, no matter who the offensive play caller is, from Terry Bowden to Bobby Petrino to Gus Malzahn, when Auburn's good, they run it down people's throats and play defense. We got half of that equation right now.
And what's crazy is you have half of that equation with a bunch of freshmen on the defensive side of the football that are balling out. I mean, you got guys that have a chance to be here for 3 and 4 years and work themselves into true, legitimate NFL talent, and they've done their job. How many times, how many weeks have we stepped in this studio and I've said, I want to flash back to the very beginning of the season, and yeah, I'm going to toot my own horn for a second because, again, and I've got to go back and find this clip of audio, and I will eventually. I said preseason that the defense for Auburn would keep them in every single game this year. It was going to be up to the offense to win them games.
Well, I think that was what we talked about. I think it was a Tuesday or something where we talked about, we were saying the offense is not going to go and blow teams out, but because the defense will be good enough, you can find yourself in games halfway through the fourth quarter and you would be fine winning 24-21 or 21-17 games similar to that because the defense plays well enough to get you a win.
And in the 10 games that Auburn has played this year, tell me one game that the defense has not done their job. Tell me one. Even against Georgia, you gave up 31, which, yes, is a lot, but it ain't 50.
Well, and going back to, you could make the counter argument to anybody that arguments the defensive side of things, and it's because the offense put them in that spot.
In terrible spots.
To where it's like, yeah, if you're playing 75% of the snaps in the second half, you're bound to give up 14 points.
If Auburn had a competent offense that was just putting up an average Gus Malzahn-type points in an 8-win season, would this be the number one defense in the country if they had any help?
I think so.
I mean, it'd be top five, D.
It'd be up there.
Or if you copied and pasted,
How many times has this defense just been begging for help from the offense?
This year or just in the recent years?
I mean, over the last 10 years, it feels like.
It's been a long trend.
I mean, we've had some really high-quality defensive minds here.
2017 was a good defense. 2019 was a good defense.
You had Kevin Steele here. He wasn't perfect, but I mean, you know, he was a solid defense coordinator. He got hired by Nick Saban 3 times. He knows defense. You got DJ Durkin here. You had that clown that coached with Brian Harsin that 1 year here who wasn't actually that bad. You know, I mean, the offense just – Auburn's been searching for an offensive identity for a decade now.
You'd think it wouldn't take that long. You'd think it wouldn't be that hard. Because here's what Auburn has done in SEC games, guys. 14, 21, 13, 17, 24, and 7.
You think you'd be reading out an undefeated season?
No. Those are the offensive scores.
Oh.
That's what Auburn's done offensively. Here's what they've done defensively, and your point still remains. In Power 4 games, I'll throw the California game in there too. 21, 24, 27, 31, 21, 10, and 17. That's Tell me a game where they haven't done their job.
Read those out again. 24, this is 27.
This is defensively for Auburn. The points they've given up in Power 4 games. 21, 24, 27, 31, 21, 10, and 17. That's what they've done defensively in Power 4 games this year. I see one. And again, Georgia.
I mean, that you're giving up less than 20 points a game.
Less than 20 points a game in Power 4 games.
That's what I'm saying. You're reading out a defense to where if you had any offense at all, you're looking at a team that's 8-1
in seven Power 4 games, you've given up less than 20 points a game. That's unbelievable.
That's 3 decent drives for your offense a game, and you win the football game.
That's 1 good drive a quarter, and you win.
I know that people are going to start texting me like they normally do and say that we've missed a pile of field goals and that hasn't helped things, and I know it hasn't.
Which is a legitimate point.
But there's just been a couple of times where you didn't even have to worry about field goals. If you just run the darn ball against Oklahoma and Missouri, those are W's.
Yep.
And I think if you'd have continued to run the ball against Vanderbilt, there's a W. Mm-hmm.
Start running the ball against California, you have a better chance where you don't have 5 interceptions.
And out of that, when you establish that run game, you can then begin to have those safeties have to come up. And this is what I anticipate Texas A&M doing tomorrow to us, because Mike Elko is a defensive guy and he's no dummy. They're going to drop 2 safeties back, just like California did, and continue to beg Auburn to run its receivers into their zone, and Peyton Thorne almost being baited, staring down KLS like he has all season and throwing into traffic for interceptions.
And the outside linebackers are going to have a field day.
Any defensive coordinator with any sense, from Justin Wilcox to Travis Williams at Arkansas to Mike Elko, the head coach at A&M, will not allow our man Cam Coleman to run free over and over and over again for big plays, and he can do it. They are going to beg Auburn to take what's underneath, and we won't do it, or run the ball, and we'll start out the game doing it and then abandon it like we normally do, and that's when the wheels come off for the Auburn offense.
Do we have confidence? I mean, we're hyping up this defense big time for Auburn. The big conversation for A&M is the fact that they're going to be playing a dual-threat quarterback, right? That's the big conversation for this Auburn defense. And look at what Auburn's gone up against in terms of quarterbacks this year. Who are the dual threats that we've played this season?
The guy from New Mexico.
California ended up being more of a threat than we thought.
You know, he's not really a dual-threat guy, but they made him one for that game. That's exactly what I anticipate A&M doing, no matter who's playing quarterback tomorrow, moving their quarterback out of the pocket with some protection and not allowing that young defense led by Keldrick Falk to tee off on somebody in the pocket. The guy from New Mexico was dual threat. He lit us up.
Vandy. I mean, you played Diego Pavia, but
– he didn't light us up, but he got the W.
Who didn't complete
a pass in 2.5 quarters.
He had –
the guy from Arkansas, definitely dual threat.
Diego Pavia had 12 carries for 26 yards against Auburn.
There is no excuse for Auburn to have lost that football game against Vanderbilt. I will die on that hill. They had 227 total yards. How in the world did Auburn lose that football game?
Compared to Auburn's 327. So 100 yards more and 10 points less.
While stopping and not running the football halfway through the third quarter.
Jarquez Hunter was gassed.
He was tired.
Yeah.
Well, averaging 5 yards a carry, was tired.
I'm tired of him not getting 20 carries a game.
Oh, Auburn and Texas A&M tomorrow. all signs lead to how Auburn can win. Question is, will they? I don't know. We'll talk more about it as we go along today. It's college basketball talk, huge games of college football. We want to hear from you. 334-321-1390 is the phone line number, or you could shoot us a text, 334-784-1067. We wrap up hour number one after this.
This is Ian Fitzsimmons from ESPN Radio, and you're listening to On the Line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, online at ESPNAU.com, or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Wrapping up hour number one here on ESPN 106.7, and a conversation I want to carry into hour number two, guys, but huge games in college football this weekend, especially in the SEC. Games where I said earlier, Uncle T, when we started the show, you have four teams from the Southeastern Conference that are in action this weekend against other SEC teams. Mm-hmm. Those four teams have playoff implications. They are playing four teams that have nowhere near playoff implications, but you and I agree and would love to get Christian's thoughts as well. Somebody's going down this weekend. Somebody's college football playoff implications in the SEC are going to be shot down this weekend. I just have a feeling.
No, I'm with you on that. Something will be in the air. I think it'll run across several conferences as well. Just scanning the top 25 very quickly. One that jumps out immediately to me is number four Penn State at Minnesota. That 6-4 Minnesota giving up about 10 points.
Going outside the SEC.
The Golden Gophers. Yeah, we'll go there first and just run down a few. But yeah, like there's several games out there. Could Notre Dame stub their toe against Army? Alabama at Oklahoma. That is going to be a weird game. Tide giving the Sooners 14 points. I'm Elise Sterling. Oklahoma's defense is solid, and Brent Venables has had a minute to plan for this game. They don't have much of an offense, but it is getting a touch better, and they are fighting for their bowl lives. There will be wind gust 25, 30 miles tomorrow night in Norman, Oklahoma. That could be a sloppy, funny game, and I've got the Tide on watch.
Mm. UMass and Georgia, I know that was the one that y'all really scheduled, right?
Yeah.
To be the big-time break with 42 and a – or Georgia covering or favorited by 42 points.
Another one I've got in the top 25 looking around. You know, of course, Ole Miss will be at Florida. I like Ole Miss big. I just don't think Florida's going to show up against that much of a talented team, and Ole Miss's defense is very underrated. SMU at Virginia.
Uh-oh.
A lot of points that the Mustangs are giving the Cavaliers. That's not a bad Cavalier team. Also fighting for its bowl life. They can give you some problems offensively. A little bit more physical of a team than they used to be. SMU has been red hot. They better watch out. BYU in the desert at Arizona State. The Sun Devils, I think, end it once and for all for the Cougars. And look at Kenny Dillingham. That's about the last time we had an offense, right?
Maybe. You mentioned SMU, and I do want to say that there was some news here today that SMU extended Rhett Lashley as their head coach. So he ain't going anywhere. He's staying at SMU. They lock him down for the next couple of years, so that's a big move for them.
Looking around the entire Big 12, I mean, there's a lot of good football in that conference and really determines – what the championship is going to look like in that conference. Again, with BYU and Arizona State, BYU currently sits at the top with 9-1 overall, 6-1 in the conference, playing 8-2 overall, 5-2 in the conference, Arizona State. But the one that I'm also looking at.
Here we go.
Deion Prime is heading to Kansas. Record-wise, a very, very poor team in the University of Kansas. But they have Jalen Daniels and Devin Neal. Arguably, it's people that I talked about, possibly the best 1-2 punch in the country when everybody is healthy. That Kansas team, you know who they defeated a couple weeks ago?
Well, a couple weeks ago. It was last week.
BYU.
It'd be BYU last week.
And the week, well, I was 2 weeks ago. You jumped my gun.
Oh, my
two
God.
Weeks ago, beat Iowa State.
Mm-hmm.
Last week beat BYU on the road. Now they have a chance to end Colorado's playoff hopes at home.
Kansas was one of those teams that a lot of people, including yours truly, had making a run this
year.
Yeah,
a very big run.
I don't know what happened to them early in the season, but they've gotten it together. Arizona State playing very good football on October 5th. They almost got them, losing by four. They dominated Houston. Kansas State, they only lose by two. Then they go on a little bit of a run. They upset Iowa State. They upset BYU. They're not at home. That game's actually in Arrowhead Stadium, I believe, in Kansas City. That line's actually dropped a little bit as well. Colorado better be watching out for upset alert here. Kansas can play some ball.
I mean, Deion's focused on being the next head coach at Auburn, so I'm sure he'll lose that game. It's what Cam Newton wants. Cam Newton said that all along, that Deion should be the head coach at Auburn. He said that on national TV today.
Let me ask you a question, and I don't want to get into too much of the what-if game.
Why not?
But what if he was our coach right now and we had Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter?
Auburn be a playoff team?
We're not right now, folks.
Auburn would be a playoff team. They would be – tomorrow's game would be a battle for the top spot in the SEC.
Would Auburn be undefeated?
Probably not undefeated.
But it would be a lock for the conference championship if you win tomorrow.
I think so.
Golly.
But don't worry. Everything's fine. Auburn's got a great recruiting class.
Ain't no way they lose any recruits.
Hour number one in the book. Stick around. We got more coming up in hour number two. I can't tell you what it is because I simply just don't know. That's what's great about Free for All Friday. What I can tell you, don't you dare turn that radio dial.
The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goins.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Friday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during the Free for All Friday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. If you missed any of hour number one, you can be sure to go back and catch up with the podcast. We just take the show, post it as a all the audio from the show, post it as a podcast on our station website at espnau.com. You can find that after the show today, so just go and check that out. Be sure you also get your SEC football challenge picks in as well at espnau.com. We had a winner come by earlier today and get their prize, so be sure that you are still being active in our SEC football challenge. Lots of good conversation in hour number one. Headley Sterling from Paramount Sports join us on the show. Talk some Auburn, Texas A&M. Started to get into big time college football games. I want to continue that here in hour two. We'll make some picks and then talk Auburn and Texas A&M. But we're about to get to the phone lines, which are open here on ESPN 334-321-1390. You can also shoot us a text in the on-the-line text box at 334-784-1067. Let's get to the phone lines to start hour number two. And happy Friday to you, K-Bag. How are you, my man?
Good afternoon. Doing well. Uncle Timo, I've got a question for you. What do you think about that 2.5?
I think Auburn's going to get beat.
Oh, my God. Good.
Can you believe this, K-Bag? He has brought some negative energy in the studio
24
today.
To 10. K-Bag, what have you seen offensively that thinks that's going to make you say all of a sudden the light switch is going to come on and Auburn's going to rattle off 32 points against a Power 4 team?
Nothing.
Fact.
Well,
I ain't seen nothing.
Do you have any confidence? Are you in the crowd, K-Bag, of just no confidence in this Auburn team anymore this late in the season?
Well, let me tell you what crowd I'm in, Jacob. I'm in the crowd that's going to get there about noon on tomorrow. we're gonna have a damn good time. We're gonna have a bunch of friends at the tailgate. We're gonna win. We're gonna win the pre-sundown party. That's what I'm gonna say. We're gonna win the pre-sundown party.
I like it. I mean, at this point, that's all you can do, right?
Hey, it's the last two rides. It's the last one we got. We got basketball. We're in Miami in basketball. We come back from Miami. We go to Cameron Indoor. You know what? This is we had a great month of Maui.
There is a difference. Miami's cool, but Hawaii's, I think, a little bit nicer.
K-Bag, cold snacks.
Yeah, it's only
already.
About 6,000 miles, Jacob. Don't worry about that.
Cold snacks flowing, big dog.
Do I now?
Cold snacks flowing, big dog, already.
I hope not. I think I hear him driving down the road.
No, sir, we're good.
Oh, that's funny.
That sounds like it.
K-Bag, you got a prediction for tomorrow, my man?
Auburn 24-21.
Wow. All right. There it is. You heard it here first. K-Bag's got the Tigers winning. Thanks so much for the call, brother. Have a great weekend. Appreciate you being a part of the show. We talked about some big games around college football, especially in the SEC, but today we've avoided the biggest game in college football tomorrow.
Yeah.
A top five game in the Big Ten, biggest game, biggest setting in this game's history. These two teams have played a lot over the years, and this series has been dominated by one particular team in the Scarlet and Gray. Ohio State hosting Indiana, top five game, winner stays alive, loser could be alive. We just don't really know, because why in the world would the playoff committee tell us that when they could just leave you hanging, right? But Indiana in Columbus, and it seems like this is just pure split, right? You've got the Indiana folks who think they're going to go in there and win this thing, mm-hmm. and everybody else thinks that Ohio State's just going to absolutely roll. And I'll say this. If you were picking Ohio State to just dominate and win 50-6, because that's what it's been in the past, I believe that you are logo blind, and I believe that you have not watched these two teams play this year. Do I think Indiana wins? I don't know. I don't know if I'm comfortable enough to pick that yet. But I do think they hang around and compete in this game. They're not going to get whooped like they normally do. This is not 2015 Indiana and Ohio State. This is Indiana, who has played 10 games, they've won them all, and all but one have been by two touchdowns or more. This Indiana team's legit, but they are not more talented than Ohio State, a $20 million roster in college football. Ooh. I hope it's a good game tomorrow, and I think it will be.
I'm picking the upset.
You're going to go ahead and pick it, huh?
I think that Indiana and Kurt Cignetti are going to shut up all the haters once and for all. Do you know, Jacob, that Ohio State has a 28-game win streak? 28 games in a row over Indiana. You got to go back to 1988, I think.
You can go even further. Indiana has beaten Ohio State twice since 1951.
Overall series 79-12-5. I mean, is that, they
can
did
you still
get
a, call that a rivalry?
They did get a one-loss vacated
it never been
in
a rivalry.
2010 when, I guess, Ohio State did something they shouldn't have done. Guys, it's now or never for Indiana, fact. I mean, they've got to win this football game. If they don't beat Ohio State tomorrow, they will never beat the Buckeyes in my lifetime. And I hope I live for be a long time.
How
I like living.
How many times have you seen a coach like Cignetti, who in the middle of the season gets a big-time extension like he got, and then go and coach in the next game? What I would be curious, I don't know how you find this. I don't know what this record would be. But what is that coach's record after they get that big boy extension? How do they perform in that next game?
I'll tell you this. I can speak from experience. 2017, when Gus Malzahn beats number one Georgia, number one Alabama back-to-back, beats them up bad, both those teams. That Alabama score wasn't even as close as that game was. Gets a massive contract extension and payout the week leading up to the SEC championship, Jabba. Georgia 28, Auburn 7.
I was going to ask how that went.
And then he goes on to Jabba it up even worse and lets UCF come up here with that Scott Frost loser and them beat Auburn in the Peach Bowl, God. Embarrassing the Tigers. I mean, that guy's – he's not even a coach anymore.
He had a rough week at work, anyway.
And
Where is Gus Malzahn
and goes
now?
Jabba 2.0. And then UCF turns around and hires the bum. I mean, talk about a Jabba whirlwind.
Oh, jeez.
It's been a long week, Jacob. You're right.
Yeah.
I'm not holding back. It's free for all Friday.
Yeah, dang right it is. Indiana, Ohio State again this weekend. Christian, your thoughts on the Hoosiers and the Buckeyes? Sorry, we got off the rails.
No, Ohio State opened as an 11.5-point favorite. It's dropped to 11. I know a bunch of Buckeye fans are upset about this being the 11 a.m. or the big noon kickoff, but the big 11 a.m. Central Time kickoff here. And the response to that is, well, I'm sure Penn State was also hoping it was a night game for them as well. I'm interested to see. Did y'all see the Joey Galloway statement?
Idiot. What an idiot.
I'm going to go find the exact quote.
He's been prone to saying some really dumb things and bombastic things.
But yet they still put him on their playoff coverage and their sit at the desk and get mad. Him and Booger McFarland got into it the other night about Indiana. They got in a like screaming match at the desk on ESPN about the Hoosiers.
But Joey Galloway basically said that Indiana is a lock for the playoff, even if they were the fourth team behind Ohio State, Oregon, Penn State, and then Indiana being the fourth seed. He said they are a lock for the playoff, and they should bench Curtis Rourke so that way they don't pull a Florida State from last year.
He said they should sit down their Heisman contending quarterback. He's top five in the Heisman odds, guys.
Here we go. Quote, if we believe in what our metrics are saying, if I'm Indiana.
Our metrics, ESPN.
I don't know if I'm playing Rourke against Ohio State. We've seen what happened to Florida State last year with Jordan Travis. What could keep Indiana out of the playoff? Their quarterback getting hurt. We've seen it happen with Florida State last year, having not played anybody.
Yeah, that's going to be a big no for me, dog.
I know where he's coming from.
Yeah, he's probably a Buckeye wishing they wouldn't play him so Ohio State could get a W. I mean, come on, man. I mean, Kurt Cignetti, I'd like to get his reaction to that. Hey, coach, shouldn't you bench your quarterback for this game? Because Joey Galloway thinks he might get Jordan Travis and y'all could be FSU and left out if he gets hurt.
Coach, I know you're undefeated and you've beaten the Buckeyes again twice since 1951. You're going for an undefeated season. And, you know, if you lose this game and you finish with the same record as Penn State, it's probably Penn State above you. But, you know, I just think that, you know, that backup that's sitting on the bench taking the B team snaps.
Taven Jackson.
I think that he's just a great option. I think that, you know, you don't want to hurt your guy.
Yeah, what a great look that would be to get an 8-year, $8 million extension, and your first big move as the extended head coach is to bench your Heisman quarterback. Good call, Galloway.
Especially when you're
Why do teams do these extensions during the season?
I don't know.
I'm with you. I don't care. I don't know. I don't care.
Indiana, they played full defense right here.
If Auburn people especially didn't learn their lesson when Gus Malzahn hijacked the program in 2017, and if other ADs around the country haven't learned their lesson from that, then there's no hope for those people. If someone came to me and said mid-season, towards the end of the season, while the season's still going on and I'm an athletic director, we need to talk about a contract extension, I'd say there's the door. Walk out of it and go coach your football team. We'll talk to you at the end of the season.
At what point do other teams though come calling in?
Well, that's the thing.
Talk about your name, and you just have to hope that if you're the AD, that the coach comes and talks
to you. The Gus Malzahn situation was him saying, "Hey, look what I've done. I'm so great. You need to pay me." And Auburn said, "Oh, okay," and they bowed down to him. Indiana went to Cignetti, and they've been working on this for weeks. Scott Dolson, the AD there, said, "Look, we've got to keep this guy here because you're not going to find anything better. Let's just be real. Indiana's in the midst of their best season in the history of the football program. You do whatever you can to keep that guy there. I don't care if he goes 6-6 the rest of the way. The season he has given them right now is the best thing that Indiana football fans have ever
it's
seen.
It's one that, I mean, 40, 50-year-old guy, I mean, that's one that you'll tell your grandkids about.
I'll tell you this. They need to win this game tomorrow. Look at their schedule.
Oh, it's bad.
I mean, and if you've been listening to 106.7 at all, and I know you have, you've listened to our good friend Doug Amos with the Max Roundtable just ream Indiana over their schedule, and it is bad. Now, listen, the conference gave them their schedule. That out-of-conference is just absolutely worthless. So you should get no credit for that. And I'm 50-50 here. I got to see more data. If Indiana loses closely, I got to see more data what happens with everybody else before I'm just going to say that your schedule's terrible, get out. But they are in a real tough situation if they lose tomorrow, and especially if they don't look real well, because that schedule is that bad.
Which is what that's my response to Galloway at ESPN is, I don't think they are a lock to make it if you lose to Ohio State. Especially if you get blown out and embarrassed. Yeah, nobody's going to give you credit.
Because,
again,
you consider Oregon and Ohio State to be a, quote, lock for the playoffs. Sure. So then it comes down to if they're going to let a third team from the Big Ten, and most likely
they
will.
This is if Ohio State wins tomorrow and next week, right?
Correct.
They would be a lock for the playoffs.
I mean, I would imagine that even if
– I think even if they lose to this week and they still beat Michigan, I think they put Ohio State in. No way that ain't no way they'd leave out a two-loss Ohio State of the playoffs. Hello, money.
But yeah, if you're comparing Penn State and Indiana being that third team in that possibly gets in, I feel like, I mean, you have to give the nod to Penn State, right? I mean, I guess if you look at it, their ranked win is with Illinois, but you went to USC.
Yeah,
they're no good.
They're not, but
they're no good.
When you're just looking at
Penn State's not good either.
I mean, I think
it's okay.
That,
don't worry.
I think that
Indiana
Penn
plays
State,
Purdue next weekend.
The worst team in the Power Four.
Penn State plays at Minnesota. That'll give them a quality win if they get past them. That's a good Minnesota team with a fantastic offensive line that's going to try and pound on them and will. That'll be a rock fight. Who does Penn State have next week?
Purdue.
No. Who does Penn State play?
Oh,
next
Penn State.
Week?
Sorry. They play Maryland. So both of these teams, both Indiana and Penn State, play the two bottom ranked teams in the conference.
Indiana,
so most teams, theoretically, if Penn State wins out, Indiana loses, and they win out, that both teams' only loss would be to Ohio State. What if both of those games and those losses look a lot alike? Because at some point, somebody's going to step in like Joey Galloway and be like, eye test. That's still what we're doing here in college football. Yeah. It's still very debatable. If Indiana struggles against Ohio State mightily, they're going to the bottom of those four teams if everyone else wins out the rest of the season.
Sure. I think there
if they play a heck of a game, and it's a game a lot like Oregon and Ohio State was, how can you just say, yeah, you're out of here?
Both teams –
you're looking to just shuffle them out because they're not a big brand.
Right.
If both of these teams' only loss is to Ohio State, say Indiana loses 20-13 tomorrow. Both games would be 20-13. How much credit do you give Indiana for going to Columbus and only losing by a touchdown rather than Penn State hosting the Buckeyes and losing by a touchdown?
I've got a solution for this if that scenario happens. Both of those teams match up in the first round of the playoffs and make it happen and have Penn State go against Illinois and settle it on the field.
I think something we're not taking into consideration here is what happens outside of the Big Ten.
There
right?
You go.
What happens with the SEC? What happens with the Big 12? Hell, what happens with the ACC? Right? What happens with SMU and Clemson? And if Notre Dame beats Army? Like, Notre Dame's stealing a bid from somebody. Do we think their college football playoff good? I don't think so, but they've had their crappy record and their crappy schedule, so they're going to get in if they beat Army, which that's a solid win this year.
If Army beats Notre Dame, is Notre Dame out? For sure.
They're done.
They should be.
I was about to say, the reaction that y'all both just gave is the way that America reacts to it, but is that the way that the playoff committee will react?
I think that they will.
Can't predict that.
They'll hammer them.
Let's go to that.
Good.
Hold on. I'm going to go to that ESPN.
Oh,
playoff.
They still have that?
Yeah. Notre Dame's schedule isn't near as bad as Indiana's. I mean, they went to A&M and got a W. They beat Louisville, who's in the top 25. They beat Georgia Tech, who's roughly around the top 25. They beat Navy to death when they were in the top 25. So, and Army's in the top 25 right now. That's not a terrible schedule that they've played.
They also lost to Northern Illinois.
That most people, for some reason, have forgotten for.
If Notre Dame loses to Army and then beats Southern Cal to finish up their year, they would have a 30% chance to make the playoffs.
They'd put them in. I'm telling you,
they would put them in.
I'd have to see what else has happened to. I can't definitively say right. I mean, I'm telling you right now, if Alabama loses at Oklahoma tomorrow night or in the Iron Bowl,
I think they're done.
They're still going to do everything they can to get them in there.
Yeah, but I'm starting to not feel that as passionate about it as I did early on this season. I'm not feeling as passionate about it anymore. I don't know why.
If there's a question for, say, a three-loss Alabama or a two-loss Arizona State,
yeah, okay.
What do you think? Or a two-loss BYU?
Yeah, they're putting Bama in.
Or a two-loss SMU? Or a two-loss even Clemson? They probably would skate past Alabama. But for some reason, and, you know, there's still just this debatable methodology that we have to determine who gets in other than the conference champions.
Well, think about the – and we got to get to break. But think about the situation we just laid out with Penn State and Indiana, both one loss, both to Ohio State. And then you have this Notre Dame situation. If they lose to Army and beat Southern Cal, who gets in of those three teams?
I would say the two big – the big
– the big brands.
The Big Ten team, excuse me.
Really?
Yeah, I think it should be Penn State. If Penn State, Indiana barely loses to Ohio State like Penn State, and they finish out, obviously, with one loss like Penn State, they should match up in the first round and go at it.
That'd be kind of cool.
A coin flip to see who hosts?
Yeah. I mean,
a loss to Ohio State just one, on the road especially, far outweighs losing to Northern Illinois and Army.
It's true. But what do we know? What do we know? We're just local radio folk. We don't know anything. So, other big games, other big results, a lot more to get to here on the Friday edition of On the Line, including Auburn and Texas A&M this week, and we got it coming up for you next.
This is Amber from Amber and Ian. You're listening to On the Line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line. On ESPN 106.7, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
We continue on here on the Free For All Friday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Full house in here. Jacob Goins, he's Uncle T. Got Christian Griffin in here as well. And we got a couple of minutes since we went a little long on that segment. And Christian, I'm going to let you take this because college basketball has been awesome the past couple of days. And going into this weekend, there's a ton of great games going on the hardwood.
There are. Pulling up the schedule right now, I mean, even just looking at top 25 games in tonight, Wisconsin goes to UCF, a UCF team that beat Texas A&M in night one. St. John's on the road in that's not the Bahamas championship, is that right? St. Mm-hmm. John's and Virginia. Baylor playing Tennessee after Baylor, a crazy second half comeback, ended up beating St. John's in double overtime with a three, but number 13 versus number 11 tonight at 8:30. Duke and Arizona at 9:30, and that's just tonight's slate. It gets even better. So I mean, a crazy week, and that all ends up with what we're looking forward to on Monday night. Number 4 Auburn taking on number 5 Iowa State.
Looking forward to all of those. We'll talk some more about that in just a few minutes. Let's get to the phone lines again. 334-321-1390. Scott, you're on the line. What's up?
Yeah, just a comment. Speaking about the playoffs.
Yeah.
If these idiots that run the playoffs would just say the top 12 go, then you'd end all this conference championship crap. It'd be top 12. Now, if you were top 10, if you were 10th and your opponent in the conference championship was 15th when they beat you, you'd probably drop out. But it is what it is.
So, Scott,
play the top 12.
Scott, so you're saying conference championship automatic bid needs to go.
Right.
I agree.
No top way they get rid of the conference championships.
I think they do at
no
some point.
No way they do it. But
there's too much money. Too much has been invested in them. They should. I mean, you don't see the NFL playing a conference championship for divisions. But
I'm not thinking they get rid of the conference championship. I'm just saying they don't.
An automatic bid doesn't mean
it should.
Yeah.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Doesn't get you in.
He's saying to where if best case scenario, the SEC had a 9-3 team that won, they don't automatically get in over a Big Ten team that possibly missed that went 10-2.
How fired up and how much Jabba would it be if Auburn was 9-3 and somehow got in the SEC championship game and won and got left out of the college football playoffs?
Mm.
Woo! Yeah, boy, there'd be some upset humans.
You got to win those other three.
Yeah,
you
I'm here.
You got to win those other three.
You know, one thing that I don't like, and thanks for the call, Scott. We really appreciate it. Get back in sometime. We got a little bit more time. One thing I don't really like, and it kind of transcends sports, is why are some championships for conference play in some type of game or tournament more important than others. I mean, you saw last year Alabama in basketball get blasted out of the first round, got to go home and rest and sit around, and Auburn grind and get a conference championship
and we're still a lower
in the
seed.
Tournament, and we're still the lower seed, and they were playing the better ball. I don't care what anybody says what happened in the NCAA tournament. So it's just the whole committee, whenever you set up committees for anything, to choose anything, you have bias. And that's just all there is to it. And people naturally are inclined to take care of their own. And ESPN's going to do the damn same.
The other quick argument about the college football playoff is how long do they have it to where the Power Four conference champions are automatically the 1, 2, 3, and 4 seed? That's something we talked about because in college basketball, you can still win your conference. It's an automatic bid, but you're not guaranteed a first round bye.
Well, that's not the case. It's just the 4 highest ranked conference champions. That's why Boise State is the 4 seed right now.
But I'm just saying, so going off of that, at what point could the SEC possibly get an automatic bid, but rather than being
the
1, 2, 3, 4, yeah, or even 12, just be a 6 seed to where you're locked in the playoff.
Now, I like that idea better than just disregarding the conference championship. If you're playing a conference championship in football or in basketball, it should matter, okay? You either do completely away with them, which they're not going to do, I don't think. Jacob thinks they may, but I don't know about that. And don't have them, or if you win your conference championship, you get into the playoffs, but you don't necessarily get ranked 1 through 4 if you're a Power Four.
I have the fear that if we keep going down the path we're going, the conferences and these TV networks won't have a choice but to wax all these conference championship games because they're not going to matter and the product's going to be so bad. You're going to have Missouri playing Vanderbilt in the SEC championship game because nobody worth the crap wants to go.
It's going to be the 4th place seed versus the 5th place seed.
Yeah.
And
if a team,
because 1 through 3 will decline their invite, yes, rather than if you possibly had it to where, what if the top team got left out and the 2nd and 3rd seed were fighting for a conference championship bid?
I think people need to start pivoting to the next step and expansion of the college football playoffs, which will not yet do away with the college conference championships. But how's that going to look when there's 16 teams? Because this has been so popular, they're going to expand it.
Ain't no doubt. Like Chris Gordy said yesterday here on the show, and I firmly believe this, if the SEC doesn't get its way in whatever format that they have, they'll pick up their toys and they'll go play in a different sandbox. You better believe that that's how this is going to go. We're talking Auburn and Texas A&M. When we come back, we got 30 more minutes here on the Free For All Friday edition of On the Line.
On the Line with Jacob Goertz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Friday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Let's get to the phone lines quickly here before we start talking more Auburn and Texas A&M. 334-321-1390. Brett from Beauregard, you're on the line. What's up, my man?
Hey, I've been hearing this talk about if the SEC doesn't like what happens is they're going to take the ball and go home.
They will.
There's nowhere to go. The Big Ten, they're not going to leave. I mean, they would be liking what's going on. And they'd just say, okay, y'all go on and down the vine because you're going to be alone. But SEC's not going anywhere.
I don't know. I mean, I think the Big Ten likes what they're seeing right now, given they have 4 of the top 5 teams in the playoff rankings. But if they start to get hosed, or if there's more money elsewhere, or they start to not get as many teams as they like, and the SEC can create something on its own, I think they could recruit the Big Ten to do something with them and try to recruit other teams from other conferences to do whatever they wanted to do.
Yeah, but the Big Ten and the SEC aren't both going to get hosed. I mean, either both going to get a lot, or one's going to get a heck of a lot, and the other one will get some. Both of them aren't going to be left out in the cold.
Yeah, it's a fair thought, and I don't know. I still think there's a day coming, Brett, I really do, where eventually those two major conferences will become the major super conferences that we all predict, and they will eventually do their thing. Now, whether that is with ill intent or whether that's just we believe we're better off without you moving forward, I don't know what that is, but I still believe that day is coming at some point.
All right. Y'all have a great weekend.
Appreciate it. You too. Thanks for listening. Appreciate the call.
I don't know, Jacob. I would think that just about anything or any scenario is possible moving forward with college football. It's not going to look the same 10 years from now, not even close to it, setup-wise, in my opinion, than it does now.
I mean, we talked about earlier in the season where the – I can't say the ADs, but the Big Ten and the SEC met in like Nashville or something,
yeah,
and were ready to propose to the college football playoff that both of these conferences were demanding that four teams get in every single year, that they get four automatic bids. And so at what point, if something like that doesn't happen and each of these conferences only get two, or maybe one year only gets one, then possible discussions start coming up. And as you mentioned, it almost 10 years from now turns into the AFC and the NFC of the NFL. Because, I mean,
that's exactly what's going
on. Where
happen.
We're at right now is the college football is already the minor leagues for the NFL now, with players making money. You're going to have players getting contracts here within a couple of years.
With
making
the Bryce
sure that,
Underwoods of the world who are getting paid between $12 and $14 million to play. That doesn't even include NIL funds.
Yeah. Just
give me a break.
Again, it is the minor league of the NFL. So at some point, you'll have it. It might be bigger than that, but you'll have the SEC and the Big Ten with both teams having 20 to 30 teams or whatever, and you play a mix and match of both, and it's just two super conferences playing for the championship.
Let me ask you all this. I mean, do you think that 4 years ago, Washington State and Oregon State thought they'd be without a home conference and it'd just be them two left looking for a home? Do you think that BYU ever really truly thought it'd be in the Big 12? I mean, that Colorado would bounce from the Pac-10, which no longer even – I mean, in my lifetime, had you told me when I was a child there'd be no Pac-10/Pac-12 yeah. then any longer, Uncle T, I'd been like, whatever.
Yeah, we talked about it. I mean, you mentioned 10 years from now. Think about 10 years in the past. 2014, that was the first year of the four-team playoff. Think about how much college football has changed in those 10 years. Now go another 10 years. Like – it's absolutely crazy to think about what a decade does to college football. Who knows what a decade of the world that we're living in now is going to look like for college football.
Back to the phone lines we go, and we've got John. You're on the line. Happy Friday.
Hey, guys. Got a question. Y'all were talking about Coach Prime a while ago.
Yeah.
How close did Auburn actually come to hiring him?
Not very.
Instead of Freeze?
Yeah, I don't
Not
think
very.
It was very.
I don't even think they really talked to
it
him.
It was the media popular vote, but I don't think it got anywhere in, like, actually on the plains.
Yeah, I was sure hoping they would have hired him instead of who they hired, but so it goes.
Okay, you were in the Deion camp from the jump?
Yes.
Okay, interesting.
Yes, I was.
Okay, how do you think about what he's doing in Colorado right now?
Sort of surprised, but not overly surprised.
Interesting. You just don't hear a ton of those Auburn fans vocalize that anymore, even though he is being so successful in Colorado and gets Julian Lewis, the big quarterback commit. So, yeah, I don't think it got as close as some people think it did, John.
Yeah, I probably didn't.
I don't think there was ever an interview.
No, I don't.
That's what I'm saying.
I think there were two primary candidates, Lane Kiffin and Hugh Freeze.
And then something happened behind closed doors where either Lane walked or Auburn walked. And
I mean, possibly the offensive coordinator at Baylor, who used to be here, Jeff Grimes, was in the mix a little bit, from what I can recall.
But no, it was just a national media saying, this is who they could get.
Yeah, it's like y'all should hire Turner Gill. Okay, well, we hired Gene Chizik, racist, plantation, blah, blah, blah. They won a national championship. Okay, so, you know, there's always the national media favorites, and then there's the people that are actually being taught, and then there's the fan favorites on the message board. Guys got this.
We love
He's
those.
Got your hire. Lead pipe lock it down. And then there's reality of the situation, and most of the time, none of us really know what's going on, and quite frankly, don't need to know what's going on.
All right, guys, let's transition. Let's talk Auburn, Texas A&M with Hugh Freeze as the head coach, and Tigers team that They're still fighting for a bowl game. Can't, you know, just can't overlook that. Can't overstate how big a bowl game would be for this team. And you're going into a game against Texas A&M, who still has legitimately everything to play for. Seems to be their focus is on next week with the Longhorns, but they better focus up for Auburn, especially on the defensive side. We talked about a lot of this earlier on how Auburn's defense is going to have to do it again and give this Auburn team a chance to win tomorrow night.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to have to keep in. I mean, if you're waiting on the defense to finally get you a W by shutting someone out, you're going to keep waiting. I mean, I think they're going to do enough. I mean, that's just ridiculous.
It's impossible. It's an impossible thought.
Especially, I mean, so I mean, they'll do enough to keep Auburn in this game. A&M's not going to roll in here and dominate Auburn 35-10. That's not going to happen. I just think it's going to be the same scenario that we've seen maddeningly over and over and over again with Auburn. It started at California, where Auburn just would not make the adjustment with his offense, and they kept putting Peyton Thorne in a position to make mistakes. Same with Arkansas in the first half with Hank Brown, and then Peyton again in the second half. Same with Vanderbilt. Same with Oklahoma. Same with Missouri. I mean, why does anybody think that this is going to change when they've already had every opportunity to change it?
And you hear all about the Texas A&M defensive front four and how big they are. So I'm sure that the adjustment right now is not going to be made. It's going to be, we got to get the ball out fast. We're going to get the ball out to our receivers. We're going to let Peyton Thorne sling it around, rather than you do what you did what South Carolina did against Texas A&M, where the Gamecocks beat the Aggies 44-20. You want to guess how many times the Gamecocks ran the football in that game? 43. For how many yards, you say? 286 yards. Average 6.7 yards a carry.
Did it work?
I would say so. Beat them by 24 points.
Oh, okay.
I would. And Lenora Sellers threw for under 50%. He went 13 of 27.
I'll be happy to eat all my words if that scenario happens tomorrow.
Wouldn't you love for that to be the case? And I would give anything, and I'm sure you would, Uncle T-Bone, and I'm sure you would, Jacob. I would give anything to give a prediction and it be wrong tomorrow.
Well, you know, yeah. part of my problem, I mean, problem now is, it's like, politically, what if that occurred? And on Monday, the local media obviously wouldn't do it, but somebody had the sack to ask the question, why you haven't been doing that all year, coach?
Which is the typical response. And
you're saying if Auburn were to run it
50 times tomorrow night, win by 22 points,
and run for,
and everyone's going
yards
crazy, and somebody just walking in there, first question, coach,
I'll do it.
The message board guys and Granny in the stands were correct. Why haven't you been running the ball, Hugh? What would the answer be? Oh, well, it's just going to go what they gave us.
I had to go against my gut.
Yeah, my
every
my
part
brain
of me was,
yeah,
telling to
I
throw
really
the football.
I really wanted to throw the ball, so, but we decided to run. But you know, that would be the typical response, and I totally get it. But do we believe that the Auburn fan base could put that aside and think, okay, maybe we've made the breakthrough and that we're going to do this against Alabama and we're going to do it next year? We thought we had that breakthrough after the game in Lexington. And guess what? You turned around and put up 7 points against Vanderbilt. Seven.
Jacob, you just said it. Maybe I'm being a bad fan and just not willing to cheer on the team like most people who called in this show this past Monday, just completely jaded from the Jabba over the last decade of disappointment. Maybe I'm just being a bad fan to think that the first instinct, instead of me wanting to go roll tumors because we just beat A&M by 22 points and return to running the ball with authority like an Auburn man does at will, maybe I'm just being a bad fan that's my first thought instead of, hey, coach, why haven't we been doing this all year?
But, I still think the problem would be, and just – based off of the people that listen to our show, listen to this station, and then all over the country that cheer for Auburn, most of their mindset is, if it happens once, even twice, it's a fluke.
Fool me, California.
It's a fluke.
Well,
it's a
fool me, Arkansas.
And it goes back to...
Fool me, Vandy. Fool me, Oklahoma. And fool me, Missouri. But don't fool me again.
It goes back to what we consecutively or what we continuously thought was, okay, we've now hit the mid part of the season. We've hit the bye week and things haven't worked out. Now they have 13 days to prep for Missouri. We're going to see a little bit of a change. And what happened? They put up 10 points offensively. And if it weren't for a muffed punt that was recovered in the end zone by Auburn, it looks a whole lot worse.
Another perfect example of a defense that did everything it could to keep you in the game and win the game. In that game, despite that putrid stat line you just said, Auburn with the ball going into the fourth quarter, first and goal on the 9, and walk away with nothing.
Which has been the story pretty much all season long.
Again, we've talked about it so many times comically that you'd think somebody needs to be hired that's been around Auburn football for long enough just to simply stand on the sideline next to Hugh Freeze and the coaches and just say, "Coach, I feel it. Here it comes. What is coming?" Because right after Robert Lewis dropped the pass on first down,
the game was over.
You knew it was open. Jacob and I predicted the final score. We were sitting in his living room and called the final score. We said 20-17 because we didn't say the 2-point conversion.
We said
20-17, Auburn's going to lose this football game.
Before we get to break, and I know we got to get one to our final segment, somebody wrote a lengthy article around that time saying that exact same thing, except not so demonstratively Jabba-like.
Nice work.
Thank you. Barely pronounced it. Jabba-like is a better way to put it.
Yeah.
Hey, man, you know, in 2003, there was a really good coach here whose team was preseason number one, and they failed miserably because their offense was stagnant because they hired an offensive line coach to try and do what and replicate and build on what Bobby Petrino did the year before, and that was Tommy Tuberville, and didn't wait to the end of the season to make changes. Oh, no, no, Jacob. Went out and got a advisor to help with the offense in the season and stabilize things. And I'm telling you right now, had he not done that, 2004 as a season would not have happened. Swallow your pride, coach. Go get some help.
You can't do it alone. Not in today's world.
No.
Not in today's world. And he's been very vocal about that, that the job is more difficult than it's ever been, that it's changed more than it has ever before. And yet it just seems to have a stubborn stench on this Auburn offense.
Very well put.
That they just can't get out of their own way, that they can't get away from. They can't shower off enough to get it to go away, and it's been lingering around since game two of the season against California.
How come there's a lot of complaints about a whole lot, but the dollar signs are never, you know, they never seem to be complained about?
I mean, do we have a donor or a graduate that wants to give us $14 million? That'd be cool.
I wouldn't complain.
Just go buy a quarterback. It's real simple. Just pay somebody. All right. 334-321-1390.
That's just quarterbacks the problem.
I mean, tell me what other problems Auburn has. I mean, yes, offensive line, sure. Play calling, sure. Game planning, sure. But you know what fixes that? An exciting quarterback.
I don't know. Trust is a commodity, not very trusted right now here on the Plains.
We got a 2-minute SEC football challenge pick when we're coming
Ooh,
back.
Oh, we're going to have to go rapid fire. All right, we'll do that when we come back. Final segment coming up here on the Free For All Friday edition of On the Line.
Hey, this is your resident Super Bowl champ, Chris Candy from Unsportsmanlike, and you're listening to On the Line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7.
War Eagle, this is Coach Hugh Freeze, and you're on the line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7.
Here we go. Okay, here we go. We got rapid fire coming
through.
It's
not quite the what if, but it's the rapid fire hypotheticals, right?
Yeah, sort of. With the slate of games in the SEC being a little down this week, there are some interesting games, but it's not just the craziest thing you've ever seen. We agree on most games, gentlemen.
Yeah, we agree Georgia, Tennessee, South Carolina, Missouri.
Yes.
And Texas, is that?
Yes. Yeah, I think so. So the other
and
three.
And Arkansas.
And Arkansas, yeah. So the other three games, Auburn A&M, Florida Ole Miss, and Bama and Oklahoma. hypothetical upset. Doesn't mean you have to believe it or fully predicting it, but you could see it happening, Uncle Tebow.
I'm going to take Oklahoma as my hypothetical upset. I've been saying it for a couple weeks now. It's just a very, very strange trip historically that Alabama never has to take this late in the season, especially before the Iron Bowl. I'm not real sure what the weather's going to be like temperature-wise there, but that wind is going to be howling in the South Plains of Norman, Oklahoma, Saturday night. And if Alabama gets out there and starts stumbling and fumbling and kicking that ball around, I'm with Lee Sterling. I think that Oklahoma definitely can keep it within the number. And out of all the games, if they keep it close, somebody can make something happen defensively. Brent Venables is a good defensive coach, and I think Alabama needs to be careful tomorrow night.
Christian?
I'm going to go with Vanderbilt and LSU. I think Vanderbilt
– totally forgot about that game.
I think Vanderbilt is getting LSU at the best possible time.
You better believe
that it. You could get it. After losses to Alabama and then on the road just getting absolutely demolished in the swamp, both of these teams, who would have guessed that 10 games into the season, going into Week 11, both of these teams would be 6-4.
And 3-3 in the SEC.
And 3-3 in the SEC. I think if Diego Pavia and Vanderbilt with Clark Lee can play the type of offense where you just pound the clock and you make it where LSU already doesn't have a running game, but you make it be eliminated 100% and you rely on Garrett Nussmeier, he's shown that when you have to go to him, he makes enough mistakes. If Vanderbilt can make this a game where it's 14-10 at halftime and both of these teams have had four possessions, I think Vanderbilt can go out and win.
I like it. That's a really
good thing. They're a 7.5-point.
LSU does not ever want to get into a rock fight with Brian Kelly, and they are so one-dimensional throwing the ball. Right. Clark Lea is going to have something for them.
And again, you run the clock. You control the line of scrimmage, and you control the clock. I think not only can you cover the 7.5 points, I think you can win outright.
I'll keep mine quick. My hypothetical is Florida to beat Ole Miss. I think Lagway is talented enough. I think he's going to be really good in his career. He already is really talented, and Lane Kiffin's season is on the line. He got the big win. Can he do it again? I just don't know. I think Florida is playing hard. I think they're bought in. I think those players love Billy Napier. They love Florida. This is in the swamp. Gators could do it. I would not be surprised if they take down Ole Miss this week.
And one thing that also goes with the Florida Gators, that defensive secondary is
legit.
Stout. They are a legit secondary. You saw what they did against LSU. You saw what they did against Carson Beck in Georgia. Now all of a sudden you go back to a team that wants to throw the ball with Jackson Dart, especially if Trey Harris is not 100% healthy, watch out.
Tomorrow night, under the lights, 6:30, Auburn and Texas A&M. Our final thoughts, picks, and predictions for this game, and something that we had talked about off the mic that I do think is important, Uncle T-Bone, to get over the airwaves. You look at these two head coaches, Mike Elko, year one. Everybody made fun of the dork from Duke that got hired at A&M, and now he is having his team on the verge of a college football playoff. Those aren't my words. Those are what people said about this guy. And he's now got his team in a position to compete for a national championship. Hugh Freeze is in year two. They're a four-win team fighting for bowl eligibility. They're not going to get it more than likely. They'd have to win out with two top 25 wins. We're going to find out exactly what these two head coaches are like and what they're made of from this game tomorrow night.
One for FAFO. Mess around and find out game for each fan base. We're going to know exactly what Mike Elko's all about and once and for all what Hugh Freeze is all about after tomorrow's game. Tons of big recruits coming to the Plains. Auburn fans will be there. Y'all said it. Downtown's already rocking and rolling. I think that Auburn people are really hoping and, like I said earlier, wish casting for some type of scenario like it was 2 years ago when Texas A&M came to town and Carnell Williams had Jordan Hare and college football on fire. I don't see it happening. I'm sorry. I've got to be a realist here. Auburn's offense has been pathetic scoring-wise against Power 4 teams. I think Mike Elko is going to do a lot of the same things that head coach Justin Wilcox from California did to Auburn and just beg the Tigers to try and line up and run the ball and take what's underneath. Hugh Freeze is greedy and will continue to try and run deep ball after deep ball or whatever into a 8-10 yard zone backed by two deep safety. And we'll start off running the ball well and stop. A&M scores late. Aggies 24, Tigers 10.
Maybe Elko was right. Maybe his whole focus was just on Texas. if Auburn is just that poorly in what they've seen in the film. Again, I talked about it before. I hope all three of us are wrong. A&M 31, Auburn 13.
I'll make mine quick again. A&M 34, Tigers 28. They hang around. They score some points. But I think defense breaks this time.
Fourth quarter comes around.
They score 28 points. I can see them winning. But Auburn's always struggled with mobile quarterbacks, and they're gonna have them moving around a lot.
I'd love it if we're all wrong.
We'll talk about it on Monday, 2-4, right here on ESPN 106.7. For Uncle T-Bone and Christian Griffin, I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe, stay warm. I'll talk to you later.